You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby, where you can engage with us via our website at cjsf.ca or on our social media, which is CJSF Radio on TikTok and Blue Sky, or CJSF Music and CJSF Talk on Instagram.
Talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem Nations. I'm your host, Nicole Hines, and I hope you guys are doing very well this morning. The weather has been kind to us for sure. Today, I am excited. I have guests again in the studio. But before I get into our conversation, I just want to share an event that is actually happening this Sunday, August the 16th. Earlier this week, I chatted with Caroline and Leaf with PACE Society about the recent changes that the Vancouver Police Department made to the sex work enforcement guidelines. I'll be airing our conversation on Intravenous next Wednesday, so be sure to be back for that. But today I want to share info about their barbecue fundraiser that will be raising funds for PACE happening on Sunday, August 16th from 2 to 6. And that's going to be happening at the Birdhouse. The Birdhouse is located at 44 West 4th Avenue, and that is West 4th Ave and Manitoba Street. So it will be an afternoon to be in community, play games, and eat some barbecue. I love barbecue. And there will be some sexy hot dog eating contest as well. So definitely make sure you get out for that. If you don't already know, PACE Society is a peer-driven organization that provides support, advocacy, and education by, with, and for current and former sex workers in so-called Vancouver. They will have meat and vegan options, so everybody will be taken care of on the barbecue. There's going to be a bunch of games galore. There's going to be merchandise sales and a 50-50 draw. And so it is very encouraged that you register through Eventbrite just to help to ensure that the venue is in the know of how many people are showing up, and it also helps PACE Society plan for food and other supplies. So I definitely will include the Eventbrite link in the show notes today. And if you're interested in competing in the sexy hot dog eating contest, please email Nathan Erickson. Oh, sorry. It's nath.erickson@gmail.com by August the 16th. I will put the email in the show notes as well. And make sure that when you are sending that email off, you put hot dog in the subject line. So let us break for a song. And when we are back, I will be talking about senior safety and understanding elder abuse. So here is Paper Wings with the song Fumbling. Anymore.
want to make a real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM. So, back in June, I attended a virtual session led by Linda Yauch from Seniors First BC in collaboration with Burnaby Crime Prevention Services, and it was called Keeping Seniors Safe, Understanding Elder Abuse. And today, Linda Yauch, along with her colleague Tina Chang, are here to chat about the organization Seniors First BC, and we'll also talk a bit about elder abuse and how to respond and, you know, report concerns. So I want to thank you, Linda, as well as Tina. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Thank you so much, Nicole, for inviting us. I'm Linda, and my role with Seniors First BC is doing public education and outreach. So I do presentations like the one that you heard, and very happy to be here to talk more about the topic and what we do at Seniors First.
Absolutely. And Tina?
Thank you for having us. My name is Tina, and I'm the manager for our Seniors Abuse and Information Line and our Victim Services Program. And, you know, we'll be talking a bit more about what our programs can offer.
Absolutely. So before I get into the session that I sat through, could we talk a little bit about Seniors First BC for those who are hearing for the first time?
Of course, and I actually find that many people aren't aware of us, so I really appreciate this opportunity. Seniors First BC is a charitable nonprofit organization, and we've been operating for over 30 years. We're in our 32nd year now. We've had different names and structures, so people might know us other names, but mainly what we're doing is providing information, legal advocacy, and support for older adults, and this is across BC, not just in the Lower Mainland, about issues affecting their well-being. And it's also for people who are involved with an older adult who might have concerns.
Absolutely. And my question next is, what is the age range that a senior is considered to be? Because when I was younger, I always thought like a senior was 65, considered a senior was considered, you know, a senior at 65, but like all across the board. And it didn't start to change slightly for me until like going to like Shoppers Drug Mart and stuff like that, and then they would have like a different age. But you know, when you think of your organization, what is a senior categorized at? What ages?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we see older adults at 55 and up. So anyone who is 55 and up can definitely connect with our services and access our services that are free of cost. Yeah.
Absolutely. And what are some of the services that you offer?
So we have four main program areas, and the main entry point and the one thing that if people keep one thing in mind, it would be our phone line. So that's the Seniors Abuse and Information Line, and Tina's the manager for that. Mm-hmm. We also have a Victim Services Support Program. We have legal services. We can talk a bit more about that. And then we have public education and outreach.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And for those who are listening, we will get into like how you can be connected with Seniors First BC and all of the things, just in case you require some support. But I now want to kind of shift a little bit back to the session that I sat through, and it was talking about understanding elder abuse. Could we maybe like share exactly what elder abuse is?
Okay, that's a really good question, and it's not a straightforward answer in the sense. So here's something that I believe I mentioned in that presentation, but many people aren't aware. Under the Canadian Criminal Code, we don't have a crime that's called elder abuse. We have one for children, which means then everybody's required to report on that. Instead, with elder abuse, there's crimes associated with the abuse of older adults. So that would include things like stealing, forgery, physical assault. The ones that are not so much related, they don't have a specific crime attached to them, are things like the emotional abuse, gaslighting, infantilization, so treating someone or speaking to them like they're a small child. We generally think of, there's many kinds of abuse, but in general, there's six main areas we consider. So the physical one, which is probably what most people think of.
Yes.
The emotional or psychological. There's neglect. So if somebody's supposed to be caring for an older adult and they're not, and that results in harm. Self-neglect can also occur if an older adult is in a situation where they're not able to care for themselves and that results in harm. Sexual abuse does happen. We never like to think about that, but it does occur. And then financial abuse, which is a really huge area.
And what are some warning signs? So let's say you are, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a neighbor, and you are in, you know, the community with older adults. What would be some warning signs of elder abuse?
I'm just going to sort of change the question slightly talk about risk factors, because then that can show up, and then I'll talk about one of the warning signs too. But there's many risk factors that can contribute to the development of elder abuse. And I use the word development in that elder abuse doesn't just happen suddenly overnight. Right. Although, yes, we do see in the news about, you know, a physical assault on somebody or scams.
Right.
But generally, things kind of happen over time, and there's different vulnerabilities. So the two big ones, though, are social isolation and dependency. And there's a lot more awareness now and research about isolation, meaning that abuse doesn't get noticed then. So that's kind of a warning sign, if you will, where if you have a neighbor or someone you know and you're not seeing them coming out of their house, that could be something to think about.
Right.
Other things can be somebody is like family dynamics can contribute a lot to communication barriers, and not just language, but also having access to a phone or a computer to reach out for help, or having a physical situation. You know, maybe someone's had a stroke or Parkinson's and they can't verbalize to someone what's happening. Do you want to add something, Gina, about warning signs?
Or? For sure. Definitely, you know, health challenges and disabilities can be a barrier for older folks in reaching out for support and, you know, getting help for themselves. And obviously that can pose another layer of challenge to getting support.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so with your organization, is it like, can anybody who is, you know, 55 and up kind of go and seek out services, or does there have to be any referrals?
Great question. So the reason I mentioned our phone line, that's the Seniors Abuse and Information Line. Anybody can call. Okay. And regardless of age, you don't have to be the older adult who's affected in order to call.
Okay.
Many of our calls, and Tina can add to this too because she manages the line, but many calls are people who are concerned, and whether it's a family member or a neighbor or a friend, a caregiver, even a service provider is concerned about an older adult, and they can call in. And what happens, maybe I'm speaking for you, Tina, but what happens when people call into the line, they don't even have to identify themselves. It can be anonymous. So it's a confidential phone line where the staff will listen to what the question or the concern is, and then they can offer referrals that might be to one of our other programs like the Victim Service or Legal and or out into the community, you know, to provide supports for people. So in terms of the phone line, anybody can call and should.
Yes.
And definitely, you know, adding on to what Linda said, it can be, you know, a neighbor, you know, someone that you're concerned about or someone that you saw on the streets and you might have concerns about whether they, you know, where can you report? Where can you get further assistance to ensure this person gets the help that they need? So we are technically, you know, really a first step to reporting as well. You know, if you're not sure where to report, how to report, where to start, you know, we can help you navigate the system.
Wonderful. And so, you know, I would say that, you know, reporting by contacting the number is a great way to respond to elder abuse, or to, you know, if you have some concern. But are there any other ways, effective ways as well? Like if you want to respond to elder abuse or report concerns, is there other things that people can do?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, one of the concerns that comes up with reporting is, you know, how can I ensure that I support this person, but I don't want to be involved.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to disclose who I am, things like that. And that's what we also provide information about, you know, to help them navigate, you know, within their comfort, right? Within their comfort level as to, you know, what's the most appropriate way that they can still support this person and ensure this person gets support, but we still respect their decisions, you know, to not be involved. So those are common things that comes up on sale. And yes, we definitely help people navigate that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And before I let you go, because I am going to share how we can get connected with Seniors First BC, but is there anything else that we may not have touched on about the organization or even about elder abuse that you'd like to share?
I'd like to just add that we get about 8,000 calls a year to the Seniors Abuse and Information Line, but not all of those calls are directly concerns of abuse. So people can call it's not only if there's a concern of abuse or neglect, but when I mentioned about the dependency issue, for example, in isolation, is that often people need support. So we're trying to find ways to help them become less dependent on somebody, to gain more independence and to support them so that we're preventing or reducing the possibility of elder abuse or to keep things from escalating.
Absolutely. And okay, now to the question. How can people get connected with Seniors First BC, whether they want to just know about it, maybe refer to somebody in their life, or just have it on standby, so to speak?
Sure. I'm just going to give the 1-800 number.
Yes.
We have a local number, but I think it's better if just people have one to hang on to.
100%.
And it works in Vancouver and anywhere in BC. Is 1-866-437-1940. And we're not a crisis line, but our lines are open from Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. at the moment until 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
Except for holidays. We can offer language interpretation. So if somebody prefers to speak in another language other than English, they just need to say the language.
Nice.
We'll connect the call to an interpretation service and continue the call in a three-way
manner.
Awesome. If someone's not able to make a call, they can reach out by email, and that's monitored by the phone staff. And it's info@seniorsfirstbc.ca.
Awesome.
And finally, our website is www.seniorsfirstbc.ca. And on there, you'll find a whole lot of information. Particularly, we didn't really talk about legal services, which are also there to support people. You can find out about the different areas that we help with that, too.
Sounds good. And I do have one last question. With regards to, like, you know, as a person who is aging, I find that I am ensuring that I'm seeing my doctor regularly and staying up to date with checkups and such. Is the organization well known within the medical community as well? Because you did talk about legal aspects of things, but does the medical community kind of know a lot about the fact that you have services?
Do you want to take that one, Tina?
I think we are well connected within the healthcare sector in multiple ways. You know, we work with the different, because we're a province-wide agency, so, you know, we cover pretty much all the health authorities, and we connect quite regularly with them as well, specifically the designated responding team, who responds to reports of adult neglect and abuse and self-neglect.
Wonderful. Again, okay, so I want to thank you for joining me, Linda and Tina. I appreciate your insight, your information. I will include all the ways to connect in the show notes today. So if you were walking and enjoying the sunshine this morning, no stress, you'll be able to get that information as well. And now I'm going to break for with another song. We are going to hear a ski team with a track called Gilroy. Again, thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you very much, Nicole.
Thank you.
Don't stop me, I sprang up like a weed in the valley. Climb pretty. Don't blame me, you've always liked the way I get done what you need. Big city. I could go remote. Take a chance at keeping all that I hold close. I like to travel light. Turn off the Wi-Fi and be somebody else tonight. You scare me, gap is getting too big to see. What's down there? Step over bodies on a path and make gaps that I'm spouse cheap. To sting.